Welcome back to Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190, where every Saturday we interview DFW's top experts in the areas of legal, health, home improvement, and financial. I'm your host, Kevin Ebeling. It is a privilege to welcome back to the studio Robin Zeegan and Julie Johnson from Julie Johnson Law. We have a ton to get to today, all kinds of information on drugs. And not illegal drugs, not the kind of drugs everybody already knows are dangerous, the drugs that you probably don't know are dangerous are what we're going to be getting into today. But before we do that, I want to say welcome to the studio, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be here.
It's always great to have you. And before, you know, we can just knock this out real quick. Before we get into it, let everybody know a little background on how long you guys been doing this. What made you get into this particular field of legal practice, and just a little background.
Well, we've been doing personal injury litigation for quite some time, and over 25 years. And with the issue that we're going to talk about today in harmful drugs, it really piqued my personal interest just because I have kids, and some of these medicines are so prevalent. And what the issues that are going about, and when I've kind of, as I've learned and as I've handled some cases, being aware of what these drug manufacturers do and their marketing of this, I was just appalled and felt like this was something that we needed to pay attention to.
And well, how about you, Robin?
Well, again, I've been in personal injury law for 22 years now. And, I, like Julie, have children. I've actually had a child that took one of these drugs that we're going to be discussing today. And so, and I was not informed of the various risk with that drug as well. So I think this is something that needs to be addressed.
Now, this is something that has affected both of you guys personally. So that's why I think it's something really good to talk about today, because a lot of our listeners have probably experienced something similar. So let's get right into it. We want to discuss pharmaceutical and medical device litigation. And can you tell me exactly what the term mass tort means?
Well, this area is commonly referred to as a mass tort. And if you go online and if you do searching and you're like mass, it comes under that category. And what that means is really where a lot of people across the country have been injured by the same product or drug across all 50 states versus a single tort, which would be like a car accident here in Dallas that affected just a few people. So, for example,
we're talking a large scale rather than an isolated incident.
And so the reason it's a mass tort is because it involves a lot of masses of people, clearly, but it also provides for different mechanisms of how we handle this litigation because it's massive and so many lawyers and so many clients and courts are involved all across the country.
Can you tell us a little bit about what medications we're talking about today?
Well, we're going to mainly talk about two that are heavily prescribed medications. One is Xarelto, the other is Risperdal. And both of these medications have significant side effects, and litigation was recently initiated on both of these medications.
Now, because I'm not particularly familiar with either of these, real quick, can we just give a background on the medication? What is Xarelto?
So Xarelto is an anticoagulant blood thinner, and it is typically prescribed to prevent stroke and heart attack, and also used in patients with atrial fibrillation. So it is a prescription that would be used similar to the Coumadin, which is a drug that has been around for a long, long, long time. But the main difference is that Coumadin, one of its biggest problems is it required monitoring, and then the manufacturers of these new drugs say no monitoring, no monitoring, no monitoring. And you see all the ads that come out, and the manufacturers of Xarelto push ad after ad after ad about, oh, you don't have to follow up with your doctor. Oh, no monitoring.
They make it look real good and safe.
And that is a huge problem. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Right. When they say that you don't have to monitor when you're on medications and you don't have to monitor health problems, that is a problem.
So they're really luring people into a false sense of security where you could be putting yourself at significant risk. I know there are definitely side effects of Xarelto. And can you tell us a little bit about some of those side effects, what the possible effects are?
Sure. There's internal bleeding, and I mean, that's a major one. We've also got gastrointestinal bleeding, renal, which is kidney bleeding, brain hemorrhage, hemorrhagic strokes, pulmonary embolism, and also, I mean, some of these result in death.
Well, I was about to say that, if I can real quick. These are really serious side effects.
Well, that's exactly right, because the way that the drug works is it operates as a blood thinner. And it's for when people have had, they have blood clots, or they have issues with the coagulation in their blood, or the stroke and heart problems. And so it acts as a blood thinner to try to minimize the risk of that. The problem is that when your blood is thin, it doesn't coagulate. And so you have the risks of it developing massive bleeding. And one of the most common is GI bleeds. That's a big, big issue. So people can develop huge, and they have massive blood loss. And it can cause all kinds of complications. But namely, people die from it. And it is a significant, significant issue.
Now, when you have problems like this and side effects, people being, you know, cause serious problems, there have to be lawsuits involved as well, I would imagine. But it seems like in a lot of these cases, the manufacturers are involved in the lawsuit and who are being sued. And can you tell us why that is?
Well, and that's because what happens in the process is the manufacturers have to put together, when they market a drug, they have to do all these research studies, and they have to provide a lot of their study research to the FDA to get approval. And unfortunately, oftentimes, or there have been instances, rather, where a lot of manufacturers, they mislead on the studies in order to get approval. And the claims in the Xarelto litigation are just that, that the drug manufacturers misled the FDA and failed to disclose the full risks to the FDA in order to get approval. So that's kind of one of the issues in the litigation that's been filed. The second issue is that they did not adequately warn the patients and the doctors prescribing the medicine.
That was going to be my question. Where the doctors play into this?
And that's the next issue, is that the information on the warning labels that they issue to the patients, and in the information on the warning labels and in the materials issued to the physicians, don't accurately and adequately disclose the risks of the medicine. And so, for example, in the Xarelto, one of the main issues in the litigation that has been filed that the claimants are contending is that this whole failure to monitor issue is a real problem, and that doctors are, patients are sort of lulled into this notion that their bleeding times don't need to be measured and their bleeding times don't need to be followed to see if maybe they need to back off the medicine. Maybe they're getting their blood levels too high,
right,
that would expose them to a risk of bleed or something like that. And doctors and patients were kind of led down this happy trail of this is a maintenance-free medicine, when in fact it has caused, you know, significant problems to many, many folks.
And we're right up against a break, but I want to get one more in before we go. Are there other drugs that serve a similar purpose to Xarelto that have had these similar kinds of problems in terms of lawsuits?
Yes. Pradaxa is a similar medication to Xarelto, and it had similar side effects and complications. The manufacturers of Pradaxa just settled a big lawsuit for $650 million.
Yeah, and, you know, Kevin, one other thing about the problems with Xarelto that,
sure,
I want to make sure that people know why it's so significant is that there's not a reversal agent for Xarelto. One of the things about Coumadin is it were, you know, people know that they have to be on it, they have to go regular monitoring, but there's medicines that doctors can give that reverse the effects of Coumadin, whereas on Xarelto, it can't be reversed, which is another big problem. No monitoring, no reversal. And that is one of the biggest issues in the litigation on Xarelto.
So if you're not being monitored and say this medication causes you to have some variety of internal bleeding, once that starts, there is no known method to stop it.
Maybe surgery, but, you know, there's not medicines. It's a big problem, and a lot of doctors are very concerned about Xarelto and the effect on their patients.
Because they think it's, you know, no monitoring needed, it could put someone in a very, very life-threatening situation.
Correct. And, you know, with respect to Xarelto, just one final point, because I know we're going to get on to Risperdal, but, you know, a multi-district litigation, an MDL was just recently filed in Louisiana on Xarelto cases this past January, I think. And so now is the time. If people have claims concerning Xarelto, they definitely need to give us a call, because we'll need to get their claims timely filed.
Absolutely. And we have to take a real quick break, but I want people to know that if they have any questions and they need to call you guys, you can get more information at juliejohnsonlaw.com or call 214-290-8001. That's 214-290-8001. 1-800-290-8001. We have to take a real short break, but we will be right back with you. You're listening to Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190.
This is Andrea Rideout, and I've got a new show called Down to Earth at noon on Saturdays. It's fun and green and local in Texas, and oh, so down to earth. So tune in each Saturday at noon right here on Talk Radio 1190, brought to you by Gecko Hardware and Steel Outdoor Power.
The Law Office of Julie Johnson at thetexasdivorcelawyer.com, with principal office in Dallas, Texas, is proud to be selected the family law attorneys on Ask the Experts each month. You can learn about them at thetexasdivorcelawyer.com. They understand that it can be very difficult to go through a divorce. They have proven strategies to make the process as quick and painless as possible. It is their belief that all good parents should remain involved in their children's lives. Julie Johnson and Robin Zegan are experienced Dallas family law attorneys and handle all divorces from the simple to the complex. They understand that this time in your life is very emotional and take seriously their commitment to help you navigate through the process as quickly and painlessly as possible. If you have any questions about the process and about how they can help, contact them at the Law Office of Julie Johnson at 214-290-8001 or on the web at thetexasdivorcelawyer.com. That's thetexasdivorcelawyer.com.
How strong is Allegra D?
It's jumping in a pile of leaves with my kids strong.
Allegra D, a fast non-drowsy antihistamine plus a powerful decongestant that starts relieving your toughest allergy symptoms in 1 hour.
Yep, I am going to take that hayride strong.
It's breathing free for 24 hours, even after a day of apple picking strong.
Allegra D, strong relief for your allergy symptoms, guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
Welcome back to Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190. I am your host, Kevin Ebeling. Today we have a lot of stuff to get to. Before the break, the time has gone by so fast, I didn't even realize it was already our last segment. We're talking about mass torts. Basically, harmful drugs and medical devices are on the table. We have Julie Johnson and Robin Zegan here from juliejohnsonlaw.com. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about Xarelto and some of the risks involved in that medication and the lawsuits that come with it. But now I want to move on just a little bit to Risperdal, I believe was the other medication you guys had mentioned. And can you give us a little bit of a general background on Risperdal, what it does and what some of the potential effects can be?
Risperdal is a drug that's widely prescribed for a number of disorders. You've seen it prescribed for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and autism. And it's meant to target the serotonin and dopamine receptors to help the child have better control over his mind and decrease the risk of psychotic or aggressive behaviors. However, this drug has serious and damaging side effects that many parents were not adequately made aware of.
So what kind of risks can come along with Risperdal? Because this is a medication that relates, like you said, directly to, you know, serotonin and mental conditions. So you always have to be careful with any kind of medication related to that. What kind of risks come with this medication that could cause a lawsuit?
Well, the main risk comes to young boys, and the problem with that is, you know, I think there's a higher incident rate of young boys that need ADHD medicine, and the risks come to them. But the main risk is that they will they could have an increased risk of developing gynecomastia, which is essentially where boys develop breasts and their breast tissue. And so there have been instances where young boys can develop, you know, significant breast size, you know, 42, 44 size breasts, the size of large women's breasts at 12, you know, and think of what a psychological impact.
I absolutely can't imagine that. It has to be a horrible situation for any kid that age to be put in.
Oh, absolutely. And so what it does is the medicine in children that, you know, suffer from this or have this reaction to the medicine, you know, they get large breasts in young men, teenage and boys. And then they also can, there increases, you know, milk production. And so their nipples can actually emit a substance. And so imagine being a 13-year-old boy and you're wanting to play football and you've had to be on ADHD medicine and you've developed breasts and all that kind of stuff.
Right, something that was designed to help you with one condition can create a problem that is far worse and could be equally damaging in terms of your growth.
Absolutely. And one of the bigger problems is that it can't be reversed medically. The only way to reverse it once those breasts develop is through surgery.
So that has to be a surgical procedure.
Right. And then they'll have lifetime surgical scarring and everything on their chest. And it can be a significant problem. And, you know, yeah. So
is it
why this litigation is going on.
If you notice that it's happening, can you cease taking the medication? Will that stop the problem? Or, I mean, I know, like you said, it won't reverse it.
Well, from what the literature is supporting right now, it doesn't reverse the problems, you know, and that's something that you need to explore with your doctor and determine the level of particular reaction that your son may have had to it. But this is a significant situation.
And were any efforts made by anyone, the manufacturer, to warn people of these possible effects, or did it just, it came out of nowhere and they had no idea why it was happening and then had a just complete and utter confusion as to the source of the problem?
Well, many parents of these male children claimed that they were not informed of the dangerous side effects. I know I was not informed of the side effect whenever my child had been prescribed it. And most of the parents allege that Omnicare, the supply company, convinced doctors to prescribe Risperdal to patients even after they knew of the dangers.
How many, do you know just roughly how many lawsuits, have there already been a lot of lawsuits filed against the manufacturers of Risperdal, or is this sort of a new development?
Yes. So Johnson & Johnson is the manufacturer of Risperdal, and the lawsuits, right, as it stands right now, there's been more than 420 lawsuits filed across the country relating to this issue. And even despite all of this litigation that has been filed, you know, it is also contended that Johnson & Johnson is continually to aggressively market this medication to teenagers and their parents. And so, you know, the legal process is very, very important in our country because it's the check and balance. You know, if you don't have the court system, then it's the, you know, then drug companies would be, you know, able to run amok and falsely promise and falsely market and hide research data and medications that could have potentially very, very harmful side effects. And so what the court system does, it's the great regulator. It's the great space where that has to be fleshed out, and it's the truth telling place. So the court system is very, very, very important in our country to keep the check and balances in place. And so right now, I don't believe an MDL has been filed on Risperdal, but I think one will be shortly. When you have this many cases across the country, they typically get consolidated into a what's called a multi-district litigation, where a concise litigation format in one jurisdiction to make it more streamlined. But yes, there are a lot of lawsuits. There are a lot of claimants out there that have been harmed because of these horrible side effects on their young sons.
I want to know what the main issue of the lawsuits is. But before, just out of curiosity, does anybody know if certain young adults are more susceptible to these possible side effects than others? Is there any way to tell? I mean, how could they? Is there any way to even warn against something like this?
Well, I mean, one of the ways to warn against it is to warn of the side effects, right?
Right.
And then parents can make informed decisions with their doctors.
Because this is something that if you don't know about and don't know to expect, you're going to be very confused as to why it's happening. And yeah, I think if a lot of people were informed and warned about this beforehand, that would definitely affect their decision in having their child take this drug.
Correct. I mean, yeah, the main issue in these kinds of lawsuits is the condition's embarrassing for your son at a really delicate age. And, you know, even worse, it's painful and expensive to have it reversed. And you shouldn't have to pay for the lack of information and the overzealous marketing
Absolutely.
Of this dangerous drug.
So, I mean, and it is. This could be emotionally devastating for someone this age. And I would think the surgery is something. No parent wants their child to undergo any kind of surgery, especially at a young age. And for something like this, I absolutely agree that it should be something that's warned against, but I want to know exactly how does the litigation work in terms of these lawsuits? other lawsuits filed all over the country. And I know a lot of people think that they may not be able to do something. They say it's a huge company. It's daunting. We can't ever make a dent in that. So.
Oh, right. You know, and that's one of the big issues in these drug kind of litigations is, you know, these pharmaceutical companies, they make billions and billions of dollars every year, right? And they have huge budgets to defend litigation. And that's one of the reasons why getting MDLs in place is very important, because it does allow plaintiffs to kind of pool their resources together in the litigation concept. So versus having individual lawsuits all over the country where each lawyer has to go out and do all of the data research to prove that they knew or should have known of the side effects and failed to warn. These multi-district litigation cases was where all the lawsuits get combined and the lawyers can all work together, and they have teams and panels of lawyers that lead the process where the resources are pooled to be able to make an equal footing with having, you know, a heavily funded pharmaceutical company on the other side.
So there can be some, I mean, results from these lawsuits. That's what I was wondering, if the manufacturers have the resources to basically fight these kind of lawsuits forever, or is it actually putting a dent in their practices?
Well, no. I mean, just look at the Pradaxa litigation that we just discussed.
Right.
I mean, you know, they paid $650 million to settle. You know, $650 million is a lot of money.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's numerous instances where, you know, settlements have happened with these mass drug cases, you know, the Prozac cases, there was a big settlement for that and others. And so it's, I think, you know, what happens is the litigation process is designed to compensate people who have had horrible, horrible consequences and side effects from these medications where the drug companies did not properly warn them of the side effects and improperly marketed them. And so that's what the lawsuits are about. That's why people need lawyers, and we're certainly here ready to help them if they do.
So if a parent is feeling that maybe they do have a case here, they should not shy away from it because it's a big company and it's daunting, because they actually can make a difference here.
Oh, absolutely. And as a parent of sons myself, you know, I would be all over it, you know.
Absolutely.
If my son had this kind of reaction to this medicine. And so it's very significant, and it's something that parents don't need to wait. You don't need to time. There are time limits, and so you don't want to wait too long. You want to get a legal consultation as soon as you can.
Now, we're almost out of time, but real quick, I want to ask, do you know by any chance are there any other similar ADHD medications that could also cause this same side effect?
Well, this seems to be the prevalent one right now. And this is the one that is on the hot seat. So if there's some others, then that litigation bubble really hasn't started percolating yet.
Right.
This is the one that is wreaking the most havoc right now.
Well, we're just about, we're out of time. It always goes by so fast. I'm always trying to cram so much in. I like to cut it as close as possible to make sure I have as much time with you guys as we can. I want to thank you so much for coming in. It is always a pleasure to have you guys in the studio.
Kevin, it's always great to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. If you have any questions for Robin or Julie, you want to find out any more information about these drugs or these cases, lawsuits, you have a child maybe who's experienced something similar, you can find all the info at juliejohnsonlaw.com or call them anytime at 214-290-8001. That's 214-290-8001. We'll see you next week on Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190.